School PR professionals spend a week or two each year networking, if they're lucky. We pour into this professional development, and the conversations drive us in our work. Collaboration is one of the best parts of our job, but then we go back to our daily work and the buzz of bright conversations and innovation starts to wear off.
Welcome to School PR Happy Hour. We seek to create a shared space of collaboration and an opportunity to continue those conversations long after the closing sessions of our state and national conferences.
We are a community of communicators that lean on each other in hard times and learn from each other regularly.
This podcast is about just that, getting to know each other better and sharing our passions about furthering education, one story at a time. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of School PR Happy Hour. You know, when me and Aaron started this show a year ago, now we're into season two, we would go back and forth with each other on claiming guests and who we were going to have on that week. And we'd see something happen on Twitter. We'd hear a presentation at a conference and we'd almost text each other immediately saying, I got dibs. Today's guest is one that I sent dibs on very early this year as we started working together and talking through our APR cohort that we're in, and then also when I saw some of the great work she's been doing over the last couple years. And I just, I'm excited about today's conversation because it's another one of those where I'm just going to take notes the whole time because I think I'm going to learn so much from my friend here. So welcome into the show, Kristen Boyd Edwards from Pennsylvania. How are you doing today? Thank you for joining us on School PR Happy Hour.
Absolutely. I am fantastic. I love that intro story. I had no idea that's how that process worked. So that makes me excited. I don't think anyone's called dibs on me before.
Well, I have it and I locked it in and it is happening and this is our conversation. So Aaron, don't even try. But no, we talked a little bit last year through the school year about different things we saw you doing on social media, and everybody was sharing a lot of the things you're doing in that district. And I just kind of always been watching and stealing ideas, just so you know, we are trying to do some of the stuff I see you doing out there in my district. And then everything that happened right at the beginning of the school year that we're going to talk about, I just knew that you were somebody I wanted to have a conversation with. Plus, we're working together on this cohort, which, wow, we're learning together in that APR class. So I figured we might as well jump online and talk to each other. So why don't you start off and tell us a little bit about your journey to school PR and how you got to where you are today?
Okay. Just really quickly, though, I don't want you to call it stealing. I just saw Leslie Brewington post. She calls it admire and acquire. So I think that is the perfect way to describe school PR and how we kind of connect and inspire each other. So that's my new slogan this year. But a little bit about me. I started out as a reporter. I was a newspaper reporter. I had gone to school for journalism, and I did that for about 10 years. Excuse me. And when I moved back to Pennsylvania, I still did a little bit of newspaper, but I knew that my path was starting to diverge and I started to look at what else I would like to do. So I moved into marketing and communications for our local chamber of commerce. And I loved the content creation with that, but I knew I wasn't in the right business. And school PR came up in our local school district. It's the Reading School District. I graduated from the school district. My entire family did, including my husband. And my sister was a teacher in the district, and she said, this could be a great move for you. We could really use your writing skills to put Reading in a positive space. We had always been the urban inner city school district, surrounded by suburban districts, and we kind of always got the short end of the stick in terms of publicity or just the way people viewed us and our students and our staff. So I switched into school PR, not really understanding school PR as I do today, but just knowing that I wanted to use my skill set to help put a positive mark on our school district. And then within the last 5 years, I really got involved with Enspera. That's how you and I met. And those conferences and the people we've met on Twitter and connected with have been life-changing. So now, in addition to the writing background that I had and the content creation, now being able to incorporate that strategy, the strategic tactics and objectives and goals, I love that. It's like a whole new frontier that I wasn't even expecting to encounter, but it's huge. So now we do school PR for Reading School District. We are about 18,000 students, 2,000 staff members, fully Title I, and I am a one-man band, one-person department.
Wow. Wow. So are, yes. A quick question on, you're talking about the strategic tactics and yes. things like that, that we're learning through INSPIR and through our APR cohort together. Are you finding yourself as we go through this cohort where you find like what something's called and you're like, oh, I've always just called that what I do. Like, yes. That's just what I do. Now I have a technical term. That's a big thing with my wife, as I was like, I know a lot of this stuff already, but now I know what it's actually called.
Exactly. It's like, we've had so many mind blowing moments. Just in the 3 weeks we've had with the APR cohort that I'm like, whoa. But I think you're right. Some of these things we know instinctively, or we've just learned through our work. And so to put a name to it is like, okay, you feel like you're really moving in a great direction, and that we'll be able in the end to help our school districts even more, because now we have the name to go with what we were kind of thinking or what we were feeling intrinsically. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's been very, like you said, eye-opening and just kind of almost reassuring that I know this stuff, but now we know what it's called. We can be strategic around it. But the reason we're here today is to talk about a video that you released at Back to School this year. And it was one of those moments where I watched it when it popped up on Facebook. And number one was, I was like, man, that kid likes Cinnamon Toast Crunch just like me. And then number two, it was like, man, I wish I would have had that idea. Because that, it was brilliant. It was,
thank you.
If you haven't seen it, I'm going to drop some audio into the podcast here so people can kind of hear it. It's Kid Superintendent. It's a follow-up. I call it a follow-up. I think it's a follow-up to Kid President.
2020 has been kicking our butts.
Like you say butts, right? It's okay to feel overwhelmed right now.
Or anxious.
Or nervous about remote learning.
Your Bitmojis look awesome, by the way.
Maybe you're worried about students.
I'm worried about myself and everybody else.
But remember, we're all doing the best we can.
And that's all that matters.
Kids aren't looking for perfection. We're just looking for you to be present.
I know that because I'm a kid.
So let's be good humans.
Unless if you're an insect or a blobfish.
And sprinkle kindness.
By the way, I hate sprinkles.
So I want to hear kind of just your heart for this project and how it turned into what it turned into. And like, just from the idea creation, we're going to go through like kind of that creative process of how it led to you on Good Morning America talking about this amazing project.
So insane. People have asked this, and I don't think they necessarily believe me, but I had a few days to put this project together. Our district typically does a large staff opening day at our local municipal baseball stadium. And obviously with COVID, we weren't able to do that. And our district is full remote learning right now. So our opening day was Tuesday, August 25th. And the Thursday before that afternoon, it kind of came up like, hey, do you think we can do a video for opening day? Like, this would be really great. They didn't want the superintendent to feel pressured to talk kind of for an hour in front of staff. And I think just the technology piece of how do we do that with so many staff members. So I said, oh, okay, by Tuesday, which really meant I needed to have something done by Monday to be able to showcase first thing Tuesday morning. So that night, I honestly was probably almost in tears, just already feeling the pandemic, overwhelmed. It's back to school, we're remote learning. And so there's already been so much on our plates as school PR professionals that it just felt like, oh goodness, this is one more thing I have to come up with. And not only come up with, but come up with creative. And I think like for all of us, the creative juices were running low because we've been on for, you know, 6-7 months, just nonstop. But that night I sat down and I said, okay, what can we do? And I'm not sure how I landed on Kid President, but it did. And I remembered everyone in our district, I think educators, across the world love Kid President. I started thinking about Rita Pearson, who was the TED Talk, and our district loves her TED Talk. And I was like, what can we do? And I said, oh, goodness, what if we did Kid Superintendent, kind of as that play on Kid President, and just kind of do that. And I had a kid in mind, but I knew I was on a time crunch. So I woke my oldest child up and literally squeezed his face. And I said, if I can't get this kid to do it, would you do it for me? And he's like, yeah, mom. And I was like, no. I need you to look me in my face and understand what I'm asking you to do. And he's like, sure, no problem. But I went to work Friday. I pitched it. The superintendent, I will say, was a little like, I'm ceding my time to a kid. So we tug a ward for about an hour, just like, hey, can you see my vision here? See what we're trying to do. And then he finally conceded, but he said, I want to be in the video. It can't just be that. So I said, no problem. We can figure out how to mesh. I called a videographer, a local videographer, David Hall from Lone Cricket Productions, who I'd worked with the year before and who had helped us do graduation. And I said, hey, got a tight deadline, a rush job. Can you do it? And he said, we would have to film Sunday. And I said, no problem. I called the student who I initially had in mind, but he's a basketball player and thus was in tournaments. So he wasn't available. So I came back to my kid and I said, hey, I need you. And I said, what do you want? And he said, I want Taco Bell and a dollar. And I was like, done. Like, if that's all I have to do, cool.
That's the easiest rider I've ever heard from a celebrity. Goodness.
Yeah.
So, okay. So as a former, I'm still a video guy. That's what I do a lot of. I just heard you say you came up with the idea and signed it off on Friday and had to have it done by Monday morning. And my heart just went like 90 to nothing. Like I am stressed just thinking about that because this is a huge project. This is like the come back to school message. This is the, you've got to send these parents off or these teachers off with smiles or tears of joy, happiness, and encouragement. So as you started writing the script and coming up with the plan, like what was the takeaway you wanted the teachers and you wanted the community of your educators there in reading to walk away with?
So we filmed Sunday and I wrote that script Sunday morning. I didn't even have time on Saturday to do it because we already had family plans. So I got up about 6 a.m. and I knew I had until about 7 a.m. Because that's when the kids start waking up. And I said, okay, what are we going to say? So I put on my headphones. I'm a music lover. So I just kind of cranked up a playlist. And I really thought, I want this to be a love letter to our staff members, teachers, our paraprofessionals, our safe schools officers, everyone who was giving so much. I grew up in this community, so I have a really good feel for it. I have a lot of friends who work in the district. And again, my family, a good number also work in the district. So I kind of had a pulse on what they were feeling and thinking going into this new space of remote learning. People were just anxious and I knew it has to be a positive message. So I sat down and just said, okay, what is it that you want to say? And I just started typing and I kind of came up with this script. Like I said, I got it done in an hour. And then when I was practicing with Jermaine, my son who played kid superintendent, and I was kind of just going over lines with him just to try to get him into a cadence of how I wanted him to say things back to me. And he started ad-libbing and almost fell over because some of his ad-libs were phenomenal, whether they were just truly childlike, like the part about when I said sprinkle kindness and he said, I hate sprinkles. And I was like, oh my God, you so do. You hate sprinkles. But it was so kid-like that I said, let's add that. And I actually had written, let's give each other grace. And he said, and not grief. And I said, well, that is perfect. And it's alliterative and it fits. So he started kind of adding his personality to it. And it was just magical to see. He actually said that day that was probably one of the best days he's had because it was just him and I working on something together. And we have three sons and he's the oldest. So, you know, you kind of have to divide and conquer sometimes, or it's always a group, like we're all in together. But this was something that him and I could work on individually. And it was just fantastic to see. He's kind of quirky. We call him Mini Urkel. Like he's the kid who like rescues worms outside and is, you know, really bright. And so he was always trying to kind of find his space in the world. But this was an instance where his quirky personality worked, like the blobfish line, totally him, because I was like, what should we say? And he was like, well, not everybody's human. What about non-humans? And I was like, what do you mean, Jermaine? And he was like, you know, like animals and things like that. Like, we should still be kind to them. And I was like, okay. And he was like, what if you're a blobfish? And I was like, huh? And he was like, well, blobfish were named the ugliest creatures on earth, but I don't think they're ugly at all. I think they're really beautiful. So I was like, well, there you go. We'll add the blobfish in. So the blobfish feel just as special as the rest of us. So it really was a fantastic day. But again, I wrote that as a love letter. I'm actually glad that I didn't have much time to think about it because I think I might have overthought it. So just being able to write straight from the heart, knowing I had a limited time period, I felt like I was a journalist again, like I'm on deadline, go. And then so everything was very genuine and very honest. And what we ended up having, honestly, was just this perfect trifecta of a really good written script, a really good kind of character in Jermaine, and then Dave's filming and editing skills are top notch. So I don't think if we had all three of those components, we would have been in the space that we were.
Well, I will tell you that I told you before we started recording that we have started a podcast here in my district where we're doing pep talks for our teachers, and it comes from our leadership and culture coach. And as we were talking over topics, I actually didn't mention this part in the pre-show on purpose, but we pulled this video up because I mentioned to him that I was going to be interviewing you today. And he was like, well, what are you talking to her about? I need to be listening to your podcast. And so I pulled the video up. And he latched on to that grace over grief line and incorporated it into one of our episodes because, I mean, as he was listening to it, you could hear him just going, yes. Like he loved it. He loved the message. And for you to tell me that that came as an ad lib,
and
that's a moment for you as a, like, take school PR out. That's a moment from you as a mother where you can just look at your kid and be like, man, I am proud of you.
Absolutely.
Like, you see this, you see the world a little differently. And I love it. The fact that finding out like the blobfish story, that's crazy that he's just had that view of, so they were named ugliest animal. I don't think that about him. Let's be nice to blobfish. It's such a good story. So the question I have before we, you know, move to the next is, did you expect it to turn into a love letter to education as a whole in the whole country?
Absolutely not. I thought, I was hopeful that my hope was that the people in our district would love it that morning. And I was really nervous, as anybody, when you create something, even if we're doing a simple social media post, you know, you hope it lands well. And that's always our goal. So I was just hoping that our district would really love it. And I also kind of added the trickster spin because the video starts with our superintendent reciting that poem, which he does often. So I knew kind of at 8 a.m. as people were starting to listen to that video, they might have the, okay, here's this poem again. It's kind of going to be the same old introductory. And then when kid superintendent came on screen, like I was hoping that it was enough of a surprise that it would put them in a positive mood. And it worked, but I never thought it would resonate outside of our school district, let alone to see the reach that it had. We had different school districts or intermediate units writing us and saying, you know, we showed this as a part of our opening day. We had local businesses here that were showing it to their entire staffs, kind of saying, you know, we just want you to see this or have a feel good Friday. So I never anticipated that would happen. Absolutely not. But it was a wonderful ride.
Hey, school PR friends, Erin here. We are so excited to welcome back Class Intercom as our sponsor for season 2 of School PR Happy Hour. Last year, we told you about how Class Intercom allows for content creation with students in a safe and carefully curated way, and that's true. But did you know that Class Intercom is actually a comprehensive social media management tool? That means no more hopping from app to schedule your content. To learn more, head to classintercom.com and get started today.
All right, welcome back. I'm here again with Kristen Boyd Edwards. We are talking about Kid Superintendent and how it turned from a love letter to a school district into a love letter to, honestly, the country as educators as whole. So we talked right before that last little break there that you did not expect it to turn into the country love letter. You did not expect it to go viral, but I saw it on Facebook. It started gaining steam, and I started seeing people that aren't connected to school PR sharing it. And then magically one morning I saw a link that you had been on Good Morning America, and it had gone legit viral. Like, it was big. So my question, and this is a twofold, is like, from a school PR standpoint, how do you feel like, how did you handle that? Because you had an opportunity to really put your district in a great light and really show off. But on the back half, you're also managing Kid Superintendent, who is, you know, your son. So it was kind of a twofold little viral moment for you. So just talk to me a little bit about how that worked and like just the story of leading up to Good Morning America and leading up to everybody knowing who your kid was.
Yeah, it was insane because that morning, like I said, we rolled it out to staff and we're remote, so they clicked it. And what I started to see is our staff was sharing the Vimeo link, like, watch this, before we had even had a chance to put it out. So I was like already kind of playing defense, like, oh, goodness, I didn't want you guys to share it. So I had to pop it up on our Facebook page and across our mediums really quickly. And then it literally grew instantly. And I was like, whoa, like this many people are interested in this. And then it picked up at our, we have a local TV station, but then we are close to Philadelphia. So if we can get Philadelphia Channel 6 ABC News to pick something up, it is like, whoa, we've made it. So when that reporter picked it up, I was like, I'm golden. Like, this is all I needed in life. This was fantastic. But then after that, he said, Kristen, this could go national, this reporter. And I was like, no way. I was like, who's watching this? And then you just kept seeing the numbers creep up across YouTube, across Vimeo, across Facebook. And I was like, wow. And then just the comments, I just was blown away that something that we had written and created was touching people in such a way. And when you're a writer, you know, that's all you really want is that your words have some sort of impact. So I love that people were just feeling kind of inspired by it. And then one night we got a phone call, I think it was a Thursday. And it was late at night, like 7 o'clock at night, but it said New York. And I almost didn't answer it because I thought it might be a telemarketer. But I was like, hi, this is Kristen. And they said, this is Good Morning America. And I almost dropped the phone. Like, I ran around the house, like in that silent scream where you're like, oh, my goodness. So it was amazing. They said, we're going to do the video Friday, do an interview Friday. It was supposed to be on Saturday's newscast, but then sadly Chaz McBoseman passed away, and so they had obviously all the Black Panther tributes planned, so it got bumped to Sunday. But I couldn't believe that they called. I couldn't believe that we had done an interview, and then they let Dan Harris pitch the story, because I had mentioned I had his books and how instrumental they had been this past year and really kind of helping me to mellow out and zen out, because I'm on the K-12 PR wellness trained with Kristen and Sean, which was also life-changing for me, but I digress. But going viral, one, I never expected it. And then two, just managing it. You know, we joke in PR about like, there's no tired like. And so, you know, we were already tired, pandemic tired, remote learning tired, and introducing that and all the messaging that has to go with that. And then going viral on top of it, you know, the same time you're starting school. So it just was like a tired, like I had never experienced. And there was personally a part of me that was happy that it was my kid that I had to coordinate with, because we were all in the same space as opposed to trying to coordinate with an outside family and, you know, all the technology pieces we had to do because everyone's doing remote. And I was just actually thinking, thank goodness this was such a blessing, because I could go to his bedroom and be like, come downstairs quick. You know, we have to do Good Morning America, as opposed to, you know, how it is in school PR. Like, you have to call 10 people, organize. Like, I didn't have to do that. So it actually was kind of a blessing in disguise. But I'll tell you, to this day, he still has no idea of what really happened. He slept through Good Morning America. He did get his tacos. I did have people ask, did he get his tacos? He did multiple times. And I've had people ask if he likes Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And I was like, we are stocked with Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's either Cinnamon Toast Crunch and ketchup. If I don't have that in the house, you know, the house will implode. But he didn't find out probably until about a week ago that it was even on YouTube. And that's when his little face lit up. Someone at school told him, hey, you're on YouTube. So now he kind of feels like, oh, I'm on YouTube. Can I get my own YouTube channel? But until that point, he was completely oblivious to just how many people have seen the video and were inspired by it. No clue.
That is awesome. So, like, just listening to you talk about this, the whole process from beginning to end, you know, we go to these conferences every year, and I have been, I guess, going to T-Spur. I've been to two Inspiras. This would have been my third this year. And then six or seven T-Spurs, and there's always that one session that's about how to go viral. And I don't know that there's a real formula for that. Like, listen to this story. This, you know, people would talk about, yeah, you really want to find out your audience, do the research, and you knew what your audience needed. They needed an uplifting story. They needed to feel good. They need to have a smile on their face. And you wrote this in an hour listening to music, which I want that playlist, because if that playlist can help me create something like this, I am in.
I'll send it to you, Justin. I'm an all over the place music lover. So it was like a little bit of that, a little bit of gospel, because I was like, sometimes I need to go to my Jesus corner and say, Lord, I need you to help me pull this together. And quickly, Jay-Z is a go-to favorite. I obviously had Lizzo on, and that's how she got incorporated into the script. But I'll get it to you, because it was all over the place. And it's just kind of those feel-good songs that make you feel like, all right, you're in your zone, you're in your mood. But I'm glad you mentioned the conferences, because I don't have the magic bullet for how to go viral, because I never expected this. But I agree, that story that everyone talks about is what drove everyone to this video. It's the story piece behind it. And I'll tell you, at this year's Inspira, Melissa Smith from Chester County Intermediate Unit did a whole session on branding yourself. And that intermediate unit is close to where I live. And I reached out to her because I was like, wow, this was so impactful, because that's what I was looking at for myself and my district. How do I rebrand myself and kind of to, you know, a strategist instead of just the tactician? And I said to her, like, I keep getting called the social media girl. And that was hurtful. And she said, well, why is it hurtful? And she said, why don't you look at it in a positive way? And she said, if you are rocking social media, it's because you are a good storyteller, because you know your audience and what they want, and kind of all the strategy that goes into developing great social media. And it flipped my entire world and how I looked at what I was doing in my job. And part of that, I was able to pour into Kids Superintendent because I was able to look at it in a positive way. Like, yes, you're good at social media because you have these skills and talents, instead of just looking at it like, oh, you're just a social media girl, that's all you do. And looking at it as, hey, you're good at it because of A, B, and C. And it was mind blowing for me.
Well, I want everyone listening to rewind back about 2 minutes and listen to that again, because I have grown up doing videos since I was 16 years old, and I am considered the video guy. And I hear that a lot. You're the video guy. Like, people introduce me as, hey, this is Justin, our video guy. And it drives me nuts, because I feel like I have so much more to offer than just making a good video, which, I mean, I will brag on myself. I feel like I'm really good at it, but you want to be more. But there's a reason that you're known as the social media girl, and it's a good thing. And I'm known as the video guy. It's a good thing. So I may have to reach out and get into that branding session and hear that out, because I did not get to hear that one, but it sounds like something I need to grab onto.
She literally rocked my world. It was like Brené Brown was over here. Nicole Kirby introduced me to Brené Brown. I saw her post about her. So I was like, hey, who's this Brené Brown lady? And I kind of heard of her, but that, the man in the arena speech. And then I had Melissa bookend it with, you know, it's okay to be the social media girl, look at it as a positive. And I was like, duh, light switch. And so it's just kind of been, for me personally, this year of evolution, because I had Kristen Majette, you know, talking to me about K-12 PR wellness and how I had to set boundaries and do that. Then I had Leslie talking to me about the Shirley Chisholm quote about bring your folding chair. And so it was like all these things converged and we got Kids Superintendent. And it's been a magical ride.
I'm just going to tell you that in the last 28 minutes, we've probably become best friends, because I have the man in the arena speech hanging in my home office right in my eyesight. Do so you? At any time that I'm feeling discouraged, I see it right there. And I know that if you're not in it, you don't get to tell me anything.
Exactly.
So I think we just became best friends. Yes. I'm just going to put it out there. Well,
I just
applaud you for the work you're doing. I applaud you for this video, more than just the video, everything you're doing. You're an inspiration to me. You're my partner here in APR cohort, and we're going after it. And I think the biggest lesson I can learn today is, if you just write from your heart and tell a story from your heart and have all the right intentions, it may not go viral. It'll touch one life, and that's all that matters in our world, is we want to keep touch that one life and let it grow from there. Kristen, as always, the way I like to end shows is I like to hear from you and kind of hear how your life was impacted by an educator. I've heard you talk about a couple people in school PR, but is there a teacher or someone in your past that has really just left a mark on your life as you move forward into school PR?
Oh, my goodness. Well, my sister's a teacher. She's a first grade and second grade teacher. And so she's 11 years older than me. And so she was always a great influence. I think the teacher who impacted me the most early on was my fifth grade teacher, and her name was Mrs. Autry. And I still get to see her because she substitutes in our district. But honestly, she was the first Black teacher who I had encountered and she was no BS and no nonsense, and was everything I needed at that moment to not kind of go down a wrong path and stay on a path that where I believed in myself and believed that you can do anything you want. And she just always talked about the value of education being the one thing people can't take away from you. So don't take these moments for granted, you know, and live up to your potential. And so to this day, I think she is still the one teacher who I look back on. And then my second would be Mr. Carney, who in seventh grade was my English teacher. And he introduced us to iambic pentameter by using I Can't Live Without My Radio by LL Cool J. And again, that was a flip my world moment. I mean, right? I still remember that lesson from, you know, 1992, 93. And that's when I realized I wanted to be a writer. So I think those two teachers specifically in the Reading School District really shaped who I ended up becoming as an adult.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. And Kristen, we always want to encourage conversations. So at the end of every show, we leave with a way for our listeners to connect with you and to talk to you about everything that you're doing there in Reading. So if our listeners want to reach out to you, what is the best way for them to contact you? Through social media, through email? What's it look like?
Both, actually. I love Twitter now, thanks to K-12 PR Chat. So I'm on Twitter at Kristen Boyd, and it's Kristen with an I, Boyd PR. And then my email address is Boyd, B-O-Y-D-K-M, at Reading, which is spelled like reading, so R-E-A-D-I-N-G.org. So I can't wait to hear from people. I love meeting new people.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here today, and thanks for becoming my new best friend.
Thank you, BFF.
And thank you for becoming my study partner. And we're recording this on a Saturday morning. It'll release next week, but I'll see you Tuesday night on our APR cohort class as we continue to dive into this crazy process and continue to learn more about what we do every day.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Justin. I feel really special and honored. So thank you. And I love the podcast. So it is an absolute pleasure to be here today.
Well, there you have it. Another episode of School PR Happy Hour. For this episode, I just have one big takeaway. Let's not overthink our work and get into the weeds about our next big project. Let's just create and write from the heart. Let's create and write about the kids and teachers in our classrooms, whether it's in person or virtual. We cannot miss if we take this approach. As Erin always says on her episodes, this podcast works best when we are interacting and talking about what we're learning and what we can add to the conversation. So I would love to hear about what creative projects you're currently working on. Follow us over on Twitter at SPR Happy Hour. And as always, thanks for listening to School PR Happy Hour. I'm Justin Deering. Now let's go out and try to be a little better at our jobs every day.